Welcome to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, hosted by me, Amy Mann, a podcast aimed at helping amazing, hardworking and dedicated parents of children with special needs become empowered to be their child's biggest and most successful advocate. As a mum of a child with special needs, a parent mentor and a successful advocate myself, this stuff is my passion and my life. Hey, I'm your host, Amy, and this week in episode 21 of the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you a conversation I had with my friend and fellow podcaster, Clay Lowe. He asked me to join him on his podcast, Havana Cafe Sessions, to talk about a topic he knows I'm really passionate about. I'm basically always bending his ear about this. And in this episode, which is number 137 of his podcast, it's all about, can women really do it all? And this is an even bigger passion of mine because for me and all of the parent carers out there who take on the primary carer role, the added challenges, commitments and pressure and load make it almost impossible to juggle a home, relationships, being the parent you want to be, having any time for yourself and having a job which actually pays money. And this isn't just about money though, to be honest. The whole thing about the job and having something that you do for work is about mental health, purpose and identity. And these are all things I'm so, so passionate about. And I obviously have found a way to juggle all of those things to a degree by having my own business. But it's not easy and it doesn't get the commitment that I really want to give to it. It doesn't get the time that I want to give it because it's literally just not possible, is it? And so this was a really interesting conversation and even more interesting because talking with Clay, you know, he is a man and has a very different experience of bringing up children, and his children are now adults. They've left home. His son's gone off to the army. And so I thought I would share that with you. And it has been a really, really busy week for me. Those of you that follow me on Facebook will know that Freddie was in hospital for an eye operation. He has a bilateral divergent squint and he only really sees in 2D because he's only ever using one eye at a time. So he was in for an operation there and it's been pretty hairy, emotional roller coaster and exhausting. And so Clay has given me the go ahead to say it's all right for me to share the session that I did with him where he invited me on to chat to him on his podcast. So I'm going to share with you the Havana Cafe Sessions podcast, episode number 137. And I hope you like it. I find it really interesting. We literally could have talked for hours and hours, but we had to end the session. So if you have any thoughts, if it rings true for you, I would really love to hear your feedback. You can either leave me a voice message on the podcast or you can drop me an email to amymanmentoring@gmail.com. And don't forget, if you haven't already, if you want to sign up and subscribe to the podcast, that's amazing because you'll get it straight to your podcast app of choice. And I use the Apple podcast, but you can use, you know, there's so many out there and it's on, my podcast is showing on about sort of 10 different platforms at the moment, including iTunes. So subscribe, make sure you get it straight through. And if you haven't, you can subscribe to my newsletter as well, which you can find on my website, amymanmentoring.com, and you'll get it to your inbox every single week. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the session and I'll catch you next week.
Perfume for the 24-hour woman.
I can work till 5 o'clock. Come home and read your tickety-tock.
Tonight I'm gonna cook for the kids.
And if it's loving you one, I can kiss you and give you the shivering fit.
Ajolie, the 8-hour perfume for your 24-hour woman.
All right, so that's an interesting commercial. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that a man made it.
So you think a man made it? See, I don't know. I think it was just some clever marketeer that knows what men like. I mean, that's our fantasy, isn't it? That, you know, you got a woman that's cooking, cleaning for you, and then, you know, get to have your wicked way with her as well.
Ollie definitely wishes that dinner was ready when he got home every night. It never is.
It never is. See, I miss those days. That's going to get me in trouble, isn't it? So, but the point, though, that I know we want to have this conversation about this is that it's indicating that women can do it all. They can go, they can work, take care of the kids, take care of their man, and just do 24/7. They don't need to sleep. They're superhuman.
Yeah, we're women. Basically bionic, and it's all possible if you buy this perfume. Yeah. Amazing. I might buy it today. Do they still make it?
I don't know.
Let's see if they do.
All right, so welcome to the Havana Cafe Sessions podcast. Now, I did mention to you in the last episode and also in the newsletter that we're going to be changing up the format a bit. So the voice you're hearing is from Amy Mann and not Sarah Hunt, as you're used to hearing.
Hey there.
How you doing? So we'll get Amy to introduce herself in just a second. So, yeah, so the new format, it's just a little bit of a tweak of the format, which is I'll be the main sort of host, and then we're going to have guest co-host. And Sarah's still around. She's just on she's on a sabbatical. She's on a journey.
She's having a little break.
She's having a little break while she gets another project off and going. So she'll still be doing episodes, but just not as frequently as she's trying to get her new project, which is all around meditation and luminous beings.
Sounds exciting and something that I desperately need right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got Amy here in our studio in Havana Cafe's basement, right next to the kitchen.
In the luxurious setting, yeah.
Yeah, it's great down here. I like this space down here. So Amy, talk to me. Who are you?
Who am I? Well, I am a mum to three little people and married to Ollie. We have a dog, but I'm a podcaster and a blogger. And really my role for the work that I do in this world is to help other parents like me, whose kiddos have special needs and disabilities, to really be able to successfully advocate for their kids, but and for themselves as well. We have a really, really tough situation. There's a lot of austerity measures and not a lot of money going around or ability for people to access the things that they need for their kids. And so the work that I do is to help people learn the skills that I use now successfully to get things that I need for Freddie, just to help them really be empowered and advocate well. So that's my role in the world.
Yeah, that's not just a role. There's lots of roles that you put in there. And well, as I did in your intro, you know, you're an entrepreneur, your mom, your wife, you got three kids, one has a special need, so that mm-hmm. brings its own challenges in there.
Loads.
You write you do some magazine stuff as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you do a lot of stuff for charities. You're involved with, what's the charity you're involved
with? Trust Care Partnership.
Yeah, you're involved with that. You also, don't you do some work for one of the other charities?
Swan UK.
Well?
Yeah, I used to be a parent representative for Swan, but I just couldn't give it all that it needed, so I kind of help out on the sidelines now.
Yeah,
but
there you go. Yeah. So you're fulfilling all these things. So I guess I'd have to ask Ollie this question. Two things. Does he get the food? And,
no.
And do you make him have the shivering quakes as well?
So. Probably not when he comes home and I'm in my pyjamas at 4 o'clock.
So you are, on the surface, yeah, you're doing it all.
Now, it probably looks that way.
Yeah. And it was you that came up with this topic because mm-hmm. we were together doing your podcast.
Yeah.
And we've got into a conversation about the fact that there's almost this myth that women can do it all. So what made you have that thought? So what's going on in your world? Paint a picture for us and what's going on in your world that made you have that question the myth.
I think I was thinking quite a lot about what I'm doing with my business at the moment and how much time that is or is not available to me to kind of make that happen and the frustrations around that. And the frustrations come from trying to balance work, kids, being a wife, keeping the home right. It's not tidy in my house at all.
Yeah, your house is way more tidy than mine.
You didn't see upstairs.
And listen, and I have no excuse, or we have no excuse, because our kids are 23 and 21.
Ree's going to kill you. She'll be like, it is tidy, Clay.
No, she won't. She's just as bad as I am. So don't, it's a mess
it's
in
like,
our house.
Yeah.
And we have no excuse.
Well, I still don't think, I don't know, it's just harsh.
Or do you do a mad clean up before I come over?
Yeah, so anytime anyone comes over, that's it. We have to like blitz the whole house and then it just stays as clean as possible, and then it all just goes to pants. And then when someone else is coming over again, we just clean it again. Ah. So that's it. But I was thinking about what I was like before kids, before marriage, in my 20s, and I think I was very, very naive in retrospect, thinking that, yeah, I'm going to have a job and I'm going to earn X amount and we're going to live in this kind of house and we're going to do all these kind of holidays and we're going to have kids and they'll do this and we'll have all these experiences. And it's all these kind of expectations that you set upon yourself. And I've always been, very much like, you know, women's rights, and we can absolutely do all those things, and we can. I mean, we are still in a point in the UK where we do not, as women, have equal rights to men. Mm. I think there's only 5 or 6 countries in the entire world.
And what
that
do you
has
mean
that equally.
By that? How? What do you mean?
So, like,
you don't
equal,
have equal
pay,
yeah.
Equal opportunities. You know, for the sake, regardless of kids. But the problem is, it's the kids, and that's why you end up, because you are usually the primary caregiver. Society looks at it and says, well, you don't get as much because you can't put as much in. But if you actually look at the statistics of women versus men in the same role for the same amount of time, take all the kids out of it, women are still paid way less than men for the same role.
Right.
In this country. And it's not cool. And I always thought, well, stuff that, you know, that's not going to affect me. But actually it does. And now that I have a family, but particularly I suppose I do have extra challenges with Freddie,
right.
Who is my one with special needs.
And you've chosen, because you worked full time, but once yeah. you had your first child, did mm-hmm. you choose to be a stay-at-home mom?
So not initially. I chose to work part-time.
Okay.
But actually as he got older and his needs became more apparent and we had so many different appointments and, you know, therapies and what have you, it just wasn't really possible. And I tried to go back to work after my second one on a reduced part-time, and I understood it completely, but it wasn't going to work for the company that I was working for, and it wasn't really going to work for me. And actually, as I've gone, and we obviously now have 3, I take my hat off to any mums out there who work full-time and have the kids.
But what's that experience like? I mean, in terms of, you know, having a young family, you know, toddlers and below, mm-hmm. going to work and doing that bit, and then knowing that you got to come home, get the kids some mom love, and do dinner. And, you know, I guess I'm being sexist here by assuming that you have to come home and do the dinner and then get the kids ready for school the next day, kind of thing. And I know us guys, we do participate sometimes, but you're right. I mean, it does, a lot of times it does fall on the mom as the sort of yeah. primary caregiver. But what was that experience like for you?
I think
I'm trying to do.
I mean, I'm
both.
It's definitely like we at home, we do have a situation where really, actually, I mean, I do a lot of the cooking for the kids, but on the whole, Ollie is the chef in our house, partly because he cooks way better than me and he likes it and I don't. I find it really boring. So he does do quite
you
a lot.
Find cooking boring. Oh. You just lost some points in my mind now,
really?
Man. Yeah, no, you just dropped a couple of levels now.
No. I like eating it, but I don't like spending an hour making it for it to take 10 minutes to eat it. No. So he actually quite likes it. So that's quite good.
I only like cooking cool stuff, like on the grill and things like that. Something
barbecue.
Very meat-oriented.
Right. So you know that. What happens is you say you're doing the cooking and you do the barbecue, but Ruth has probably done all preparation and all the shopping for her.
Well, she's done all the shopping.
Yeah, you see.
And she's made the list and all that other jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't just happen.
It just doesn't happen.
But it's not, you know, it's just, I think it's the mental load and probably some of the pressure we put on ourselves. Mums have this amazing ability to have guilt about everything, even when you haven't really done anything, but you just feel guilty about stuff, even if you try not to. And but it's the mental load, because although...
But what's the guilt like? What's the conversation that's going on in your head?
Oh, my God, it's loads of things. Even to the point where I was chatting to some of my inner circle this morning. We had a meet-up, and we were talking about how, you know, kids are actually... There's loads of evidence to show that children are affected, their DNA changes whilst you're carrying them, whilst you're pregnant with them. And I was like, God, when I was pregnant with Bella... We were stressed. It was at the peak of all of Freddie's physios and his appointments. And, you know, I didn't have as much time to be as calm and what have you with her. And I think part of her being highly strung is probably I feel guilty. Is that me because I didn't relax enough? I mean, obviously, you never know. And you can only really do what you can do to the best of your ability at the time. And that's absolutely right. We were in a tricky situation and I did my absolute best. But I do think, oh, is that my responsibility? Am I responsible for how highly strung she is at 6 years old already? Possibly, possibly not.
But is highly strung a bad thing? You say that like being high strung is bad.
Well, it is when I have to deal with it.
So it's bad for you.
Yeah, bad for me.
But good for her, because she'll be able to get more of what she wants.
I know. Well, to be fair, we are very, very alike, and I see myself in her a lot.
Yeah.
But it's hard managing it. Like, I want her to be a strong, independent woman, but as her mom, it is hard work, I have to say.
So now think about that. So strong, independent woman. So where does that model come from? So that's something that you've been told, that women now have this, should be strong and independent. Is there pressure then to be strong and independent and, you know, do everything? And I think back to growing up, and I think an environment at one point in time I lived down in the South in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And there was still the expectation that the women folk did, you know, they took care of the house and they took care of their man.
Basically. The women folk, it's cracking me up.
Yeah, well, that's the South for you right there. So, but they took pride in to doing that, and to the point that, you know, they would, you know, they could be derogatory towards other women mm-hmm. who were off doing other things, like building a career, doing things like that. And you know, whenever there was like a divorce or something like that, they blamed the woman and says it's because she didn't know how to take care of a man.
Whoa.
But that was
supposed to stick together.
But that was the kind of mentality
of
that. And so I guess my question is then, where does the independent archetype come from? What's the driver behind you wanting to be that way? And do you feel that you have to be that way? And then maybe does that the pressure to say, well, actually, I'm meant to be independent. I'm going to be independent. Are there times when you feel like, well, actually, I would quite like to, you know, be a woman and just kind of do woman stuff?
This is amazing. okay, so I think that being a mum is actually, I have come to realise, the most difficult job there is going. And especially if your child has special needs, it is incredibly overwhelming. My brain is normally shot to pieces by 9 a.m. on a school day already. I just think, oh, my God. And I think it's kind of underrated in today's society, where it is that whole, like, women can have it all. You can go to work and be a mum and do the homework and make the flipping fancy dress costumes every month that they require at school for each individual child. One's got to be a bird and one's got to be an explorer. And all the things that you have to get done. But if, like, I often think to myself, well, if I wasn't here, right, well, let's not do too much, but if I wasn't here and Ollie had to pay somebody to fill my shoes to do all of the stuff that I do for the kids at home, how much would that cost? What is the value of that? And I think there's a bit of a misconception over the value, because if you're not bringing physical money into the house, are you as valuable? So, yeah, Ollie brings the bulk of the money into the house and we couldn't live without that. But without me doing my job, which is unpaid, at home as a mum, how would we function?
Well, see, now that's the mindset that I have, that is equal. So for me, that's a balance thing, right? So I don't see either more important than the other. The fact that you have the luxury to balance that out so that one's doing this aspect and one's doing the other makes for the synergy of the whole.
And I do think we have, between us in our relationship, we do have that luxury that I can do that.
But some people would lord that over you and say, well, I bring home all the money and blah, 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 and your job's easy, just hang out, which I 100% disagree. Like, I would not want to have to stay home with the kids, like, all the time. Although sometimes, you know, from a man's point of view, I'd be looking like, what, man? You don't have to go and deal with crazy bosses. You don't have to get up and fight the commute into work and all
the
stress.
I definitely can't work for anyone again. No way.
You know, and then, you know, all you got to do is hang out with the kids and, you know, go to the park, push them on the swing, you know, eat lunch, chill out with your little
picnics. You have so no idea. If I was Ruth, I'd be killing you right now. But no, and Ollie doesn't ever say, like, he absolutely thinks the same thing, or at least that's what he says to my face. But, you know, he says the same. We couldn't function if I was at work full time for somebody else under those pressures. There is no way. I mean, there are 13 weeks holiday anyway that we have to cover between us. there's for Freddie, there's all the medical appointments. Like, he's got an operation next week. That's another week off. There's no way.
So let me ask you this now.
Go on.
Now, do you put pressure on Ollie to do more stuff at home, even though he's done his part of the bargain when he, by the time he gets back?
I don't know if I put more pressure on, but he naturally gets stuck in. Like, the minute he walks in, yeah. There's none of this, like, 1950s, oh, I'm not ready to be a dad yet. I must just sit down with a whiskey in my paper before I speak to the children.
You don't have this paper ready for
him? We don't have that rubbish.
And his cigar and his whiskey ready?
He comes in and he's on the battlefield. We're in the bath, there's kids shouting, the dog's barking. He's just in straight away, putting them to bed with me, you know, and he will cook dinner. So he, I mean, I wouldn't marry him. if I thought that he was just going to be like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I need my space now. There's no way we'd still be together. But he doesn't, and he's never, ever said, I can't do it. He just gets straight into it. And I think that's what makes it work. But he can see how, you know, exhausted I am sometimes by the time he gets back. But I think that pressure for bringing...
On a little secret as well.
Go on.
No, I can't speak for Ollie, but the trick that I learned is to do that because it's easier than having to deal with you otherwise.
Yeah, of course it is. Otherwise, I'm raging.
I didn't like doing any of that. But I thought, you know what? It's much easier just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're off, yeah, then Ruth's off my back, and then I can go do my thing. But if I try to do something else before then you just get all kinds of grief. Then you get grief coming and going.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he thinks that. Maybe he does think it's easier, but it is, because I would be, like, mad. Because, you know, having kids, in my view, today, is a partnership. When I look at my grandparents and how that was for them and how it sort of still is today, I mean, they're still going... You know, it was very much like he went to work and my gran did everything at home. But that is everything. So he literally would get up, she'd make his breakfast. So we'd have breakfast and, you know, for my dad or whatever.
Yeah,
cook breakfast. Mm. She'd have made his lunch probably, send him off to work. He'd go do all that. And during that time, she'd be doing all the housework and changing the beds and, you know, cooking the food. And then he'd have a cook meal when she got home. And then he'd just sit and have a drink and read the paper. I mean, no way could that happen in our house now. Lucky if anyone gets breakfast.
That sounds like bliss, man. That's
it
bliss.
It does, doesn't it? But when I look at that, that's not the life that I would want because actually for me, work and having something that is interesting to me that's outside the kids is really good for my mental health. And there are some stats around to show that actually when you do have that job, even if it's not for many hours a day, it is really good for you. It's good for your mental health and physically and getting out of the house and getting away from the pressures that you've got going on at home. So I think it's really worthwhile. But you can see how, or I can, it's just my opinion, if you're not going out of the home to work and you are just focusing on that thing at home, I don't know, maybe you do it better. Because I'm a bit unsure about this.
Well,
you know, we can multitask.
That's the question, isn't it? The question is, well, what's the unintended consequences of, you know, going... holding down a full-time job for the mothers that do full-time jobs and then have to, you know, so that's less time that they get to spend with the kids. What's the... versus a mom that has the luxury of being able to... I say luxury as in they can afford that one parent doesn't have to go to work so they can actually stay home with the kids, which not every... Some people don't... They don't have the option. Both parents have to work.
No, they don't.
But if you're in a position where one person can work and the other one can look after the home, what's the experience like for the kids that have a mom that's able to be that hands-on with them through the whole of their process versus a mom that isn't able to do that because financially it's just not possible to do?
I guess it's kind of pros and cons to it because, like, when I grew up, my mom was always at home. She did go to work when I was older. But she was always there for me, no matter what. I never felt that there was nobody there. But equally, I think when you grow up and you have a mum who works, actually that role model is also really important. And as we go on in the world, we're not in the 1950s anymore. Yes, some of us do stay at home more or, you know, we work less hours to fit around the kids. But actually, for me to give Bella the role model of, you can go out and work and you should earn your own money. I mean, I absolutely am a believer that you should have your own money. Mm. I think that's also really important. Everything is different for every family. There's no one right answer.
Yeah.
But it's just that I think lately that conversation came up with us because I was struggling with it because I am very used to earning my own money.
Does that weaken the union? If the model is go be your own entity, so don't depend on a guy or girl, whatever. Don't depend on someone else, but have your own thing. So you already come into this partnership with the idea that it's a partnership. It's a, almost a Venn diagram, as in here's the partnership is where the two circles meet, but then there's this other independent, or even, maybe they don't even meet. We just happen to stay in the same house and share some common things, but I'm a, my own independent entity.
I mean, we definitely work as a partnership.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, bit TMI, but our money is ours. You know, what the choices that we make are between us, like holidays or what we're going to buy. We discuss everything. And not because there's any kind of feeling that I have to talk to Ollie about it before I do it. I mean, I just, you know, buy stuff. And I don't have to tell him. But the big decisions and
see,
how
I just abdicate all that. I don't have no idea about anything financial at all. It's like, here... I don't really...
No, I mean, yeah. To be fair, I do most of the banking and all the rest of it, but then I guess I've got, supposedly, in inverted commas, more time to do it. But my point is that we are just... We're a union, and it's a family. It's a family income. Whatever comes into the house, however it comes in, it's a family income. It's our home, and we are as one. Whereas I know lots of families have it where, you know, the husband has one income, the wife has another, they put a little bit together, but we just don't do that. We just... Everything's piled in. This is our family, and this is how we work it. And that's what works for us. It's not for everyone, but that is what works for us. But the point about me earning money or bringing something into the house actually isn't because there's any pressure from Ollie to do it. It's a pressure that I put on myself because, and it's it makes me feel totally wrong saying it, but I completely see what my value is as a mum and the role that I carry out there, particularly, you know, with the additional needs for Freddie. But actually, I somehow still have this yearning for providing more myself, individually putting that in. It's like a self-worth thing.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because I don't want to be tied to that, but I actually can't help it. So I don't know where it comes from, but I do have this issue where I kind of strive for that and I want that as well. And
it's such, it just you feel seems torn. Like that you do have a model that says, yeah, so, the, you know, woman's success and you have that model.
Mm-hmm.
The question, I guess, is can you do it all? As in, that is the model that I want to be at, but actually because the energy you have to put into... the family, that you can't put energy into building that model exactly how you would maybe want to do it. So, because imagine if you had, it was just you and you were single and you had the, you know, that would be your life to do that. Then you could go off and, you know, because it's only, you know, everybody has just 24 hours in a day, isn't it?
It's not enough.
And but that's the thing is, you, I mean, how much can you do in a day?
Mm.
Can you, and I know there are people that do it, they're like, well, on the surface, we see that they do it. They go off and they build a high-powered career. We don't know what necessarily what the family situation is like or what it does to the kids longer term. But, you know, they make that choice and they kind of go that route.
Yeah.
But I guess my point would be is you can't be in two places at once.
No, you can't.
So you're diverting attention to one space or the other space and... And yeah, how much of that can you do?
I mean, I definitely know that if I'm conscious of what's happening, and I think today is a family day, so, you know, try and put the phone aside a bit. And I'm not doing any work today, and my focus is just on the kids. I am a much better mum when I am doing that versus when I'm trying to do that and write emails and, you know, do bits of work and order the shopping and whatever it is. But it's very hard to just be completely focused on one thing, but for me that's when I do my best work. So I was like, today is a work day, tomorrow is a kid day, or, you know, whatever it's going to be, and try and compartmentalize it in that way. But when you have days where you have to be everything to everybody and everybody needs a piece of you, I think what actually happens, which is what happens to me, is it is just burnout.
Yeah.
And so you can have it all, but there are consequences, and those consequences are either, you know, mental health burnout or physical burnout. And you know, we've got like 4 weeks left in the UK for until the 6 weeks holiday.
Yeah.
And, you know, some parents that I know like relish the idea of the 6 weeks holiday because they're like, oh, we haven't got to be up and out and doing and have all the homework. And I agree with that, like that is a relief. But actually for me, I quite like a bit of my own time in the day. I like to be able to do my own things as well. I mean, it maybe sounds a bit selfish when you're a mum, but I do like that. And I find the 6 weeks hardcore to get through.
Yeah.
shuddering.
I never relished it. I was glad that I was working because I get to get out of the house.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole different routine and it's different needs and requirements for the kids and everything. And, you know, that's great. But I just, it's hard. It is hard.
And I'm just thinking, like, as you were saying, like, you have, today is a work day, today is a kids' day. Mm-hmm. But you work for yourself, so you have your own business, which brings, another added pressure because as a solopreneur, sole trader, you have to do all of the business. You got to do all the marketing. You got to do all the content creation. You got to do the fulfillment. You got to be answering the email, as you see.
Yeah, it makes my head spin.
And you got to do all the marketing. So it's like, and I know you can make, maybe that's the beauty of the internet and stuff like that, where you can have a nice lifestyle business that fits around your lifestyle. But even there's a certain mythology to that as well, isn't there? Because all these, to make it a successful business, there's all these other things that have to happen to go on to make it a successful business. And again, is there enough time in the day to do all of that on your own and then do all the family stuff? And can I take time out from the business and then it's hope, it's doing whatever it's doing because now I got to go be a mom.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes you'll message me. I'm like, can't talk. I've got kid duty. Yeah. So it's like for that day, I can't respond. Like, radio silence for a bit.
And by the way, whenever I send those, I have no conception in my head that you need to answer them in any given time. I know that's another additional pressure that people put on themselves, isn't it? With messages, you think, someone send me an email. Someone sends me a text. I have to respond. And then some people are negative on the other end. If you don't respond to my text within a certain amount of time, they get all, they get
angsty about it.
Yeah, they do. Whereas I normally, when I fire off a lot of stuff at you at once, it's only because if I don't, I'll forget it.
Yeah.
So that's my way of thinking. I think by just putting it out there. So I'm never saying, well, how come she hasn't messaged me back yet or responded to it?
You know me by now. It's radio silence because I've got that kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is difficult. And I think when you do run your own business, what actually happens is like when I think back to how it was when I worked in an office for somebody else, you might have extra things that you have to do sometimes, but you do it, you come home and then your time is your own in whatever capacity that might be on your own with your kids. But when you're doing your own thing, I mean, you ask Ollie, it probably drives him nuts that, I'll be doing stuff in the day. Okay, then from 3 o'clock till sort of 8 o'clock, I have to go back to being in mom mode and that's it. But then once the kids are in bed, we're having dinner, but I'm probably still answering emails or setting things up on social media or making a plan for the podcast or whatever it might be, because those are the only hours that I can do it. And if I could be like you and only need about 5 hours sleep, that would be amazing.
Be good.
I need about 9.
Well, now that you say that, because here's what I, from my experience, sort of working sort of full time, and you say everybody wants a piece of you, right? So I'm up and you're out, you're at 7, you got to start getting ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go into work because there's an expectation that even though you're only being paid from 9 to 5, you got to be in an hour early.
Okay.
So that you can get everything sort of set up and then you can start working at 9. And then, of course, don't be seen being the first one going out the door at 5. So then you're generally around to 6 or 6:30 at work. You come home, so just, I want to go to the gym, right? But I just come through the door, then you feel kind of guilty to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to the gym now and this is when the kids were younger, I've been gone all day, now I'm just going to turn around and go back out and go to the gym, and, the kids are all happy to see you and all that. I mean, my answer to that when I was younger and the kids were younger was I just go to the gym before coming home so that I could actually be home, because I feel guilty to turn around and just go right back out. I haven't been gone all day. But then the kids want a piece of you, then maybe you might hang out and talk to the wife a little bit, but then you just want your own
time. Need some decompression time.
But then you got to get ready for work again. So that cycle just felt like, okay, well, when do I, which was part of the reason why I started getting up really early. I think, there's no clay time in this equation. So I started getting up at 4 o'clock.
Oh, God.
Well, because nobody wanted anything from me at 4 in the morning. So I got to have from 4 to 7, because the kids wouldn't wake up, before then. So I had from 4 to 7, Ruth is asleep, kids are asleep, nobody's wanted anything. And then that's what helped me to cope in that. And it was like, okay, well, I was feeling the pressure on the other end of the day. If I try to do stuff on the other end of the day, then you feel guilty. You feel, or you got to do all these other things, and it just didn't seem like I had time to do kind of the things that I like to do. And so I decided that I'd rather not sleep so that I could do those things.
I'd be like a zombie if I got up at 4 every day.
But it helped me to cope, because 4 to 7, I got to do reading, I got to do my writing, I got to do all those things. And for me, then I could chill. Then it was like, all right, well, 7, the rest of the world can have their piece of me then, because I've done my thing.
Yeah.
But without that space, it was just, you know, making me ready to implode. In that sort of sense, but yeah, so
I mean, I think it's just like we all have the pressures, men, women, no matter what kind of relationship you're in. And I know that Ollie absolutely has his pressures without a doubt, and his job is like ridiculous with hours and the times that he works and the days that he works, and it's all over the place, and we don't have a particular routine. He doesn't do Monday to Friday, he's, you know, all over the country and stuff. And that has challenges in itself, but for both of us, that has a knock-on effect. And but I don't know, with the male thing hasn't really changed in forever. You know, the role, in if you look at it as a traditional role, it hasn't really changed, particularly how you work.
Hold on. Because now we're expected to do stuff at home.
Yes,
now you want me to play
with
the kids, you want me to change diapers, you want me to cook, you want
me to the kids are 50% yours, so yes.
So that has changed, whereas before, as you were describing your conversation about your grandmother, or your mom and
my grandma,
your grandma, as in breakfast is made for me, my lunch is already made for me, come home, I get to sit and have my whiskey and read the paper, and before I engage into, you know, so it's changed. Now we're expected to participate. I know you said it's 50% by kid, but now we're expected to fulfill that role now, whereas previously you might not have been. So we've got to take on that, because that's what the expectation is that we do.
I think there has been so many years of oppression of women, though, with men saying it's got to be like this, and this is how we expect it, that now it's like, damn right, you've got to like buck up a bit and do something, because we're now doing otherwise if you didn't, you would just go to work, but we would go to work and all the kids stuff and all the house stuff and the cooking and the cleaning and the buying.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. That's why you get like complete parental burnout.
What is wrong with that equation? I like that equation myself, but yeah. But so, and you're right. I mean, it's changed in that sense. And in fact, there's a book I read. It's called, is it called Broken? Anyway, it's by a lady named Susan Fodaldi.
Okay.
And her argument in this book is that men are now going through their identity crisis or their oppression bit, because we don't know how to be men anymore. Because if you try and act like men would act, then you're either sexist or you're male chauvinist or you're all these other labels. And then we're expected to be almost like metrosexual male and show our female side and all these other aspects of it. That, you know, her argument is that we're having our own crisis, as in what is being a man today? What's a male's role? You know, once upon a time it would have been, you know, sort of clearly defined aspect of the tribe, go out, provide, teach the next male generation on how to do the same thing.
I think the clearly defined role takes the pressure off for both sides. And perhaps, you know, I can see why in some respects that did work in previous generations. But I want more than that. I don't want to just be, I think I would be crazy if all I did was home stuff. And, you know, I love my kids more than anything, but it is hard going. And actually, going to work is much easier, as much as men don't want to hear that. It really is, because it's a different kind of pressure.
Maybe that's just it, isn't it? Because the dynamic has changed now. So the expectation... So before, the expectation was you had these roles, the gender roles or what have you, and you go and you do these things. But then with that now gone and everyone is taking equal participation in the partnership...
Yeah.
You're right. So now it's, hey, I want to have a career too. But, hey, I you know, so you... You want to do more and you want to do more outside of the home.
Well, I think it's about getting that equality, isn't it? So that you're both involved in the home life, you're both involved in working. So let's say if it's a traditional man-woman relationship, because obviously not all relationships are that. Two women, two men, whatever. That
we got all sorts of stuff.
The dynamics there. I mean, I don't know, but our dynamic, I can only really talk from our experience, is that you kind of want to get it so that you've both got your own time, you've got time together, you've both got your working ability, you've both got home capacity, you've both got friend capacity, and it's actually trying to live as two equals with equal opportunities. And it's getting there, but we still have such a long way to go. And so within that comes the pressure, because we're not actually meeting in the middle. And part of that is the kind of the gender pay gap problem. There was some sort of stat that said it's at the current rate, it's going to take about 202 years for men and women to be paid the same amount. 202 years. Just do it now. Just make the rule. Everyone has to be paid the same. It's not difficult, but it won't. And so you then have...
And can men get as much time off as women?
Well, they should be able to. Yeah. That's the point. That you should. And at the moment, you can have shared maternity stroke paternity. But of course, because generally, as an average, men earn more than women, who, as a choice for a household, who's going to go back to work? The one that earns the most. Because if you're not going to get paid by the company...
Can you have the same amount of time as a woman has?
So you can split the mat leave now.
You can between you?
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
So if you get, say, 9 months off once you've had a baby, you could, in theory, say, well, I'll take 4.5 off, and
so
my husband can take...
Pay.
Well, you don't really get paid. You get, like, statutory pay. So you just get, like, I can't remember what it is now from when I was off, but a couple hundred quid or whatever a month. So then one of you is going without a salary.
Right.
So the reason that females are usually the ones to stay home, partly, you know, you might be, like, breastfeeding your kids because it's the mum thing to do, but actually it's because overall women earn less than men. So if you need money coming to the house, the man is going to go back to work, isn't he? From a practical perspective, that's part of the issue. We're just not on an equal playing field. And I think as much as we wanted, it's just not there yet. And that's not the case for all women. Obviously, there are lots of partnerships where the woman brings in way more money than the man.
Yeah.
But as an average, when you look at it, that's not actually quite how it works. And that is part of the problem of us trying to have it all, because the pressure is immense.
And there's a question, and maybe that's maybe I'd be expanding the podcast to beyond, because I'm just thinking, well, what's the driver behind that? What's changed in our value system?
Mm-hmm.
So having a modest home, and the whole sort of family unit, and you come and you're happy just to live a very basic life with a basic home, or is there now pressure for success in quotation marks to have more than just that, to have the big house, the two cars, the three TVs, everybody with a computer, everybody with a smartphone?
I'd say there is pressure.
Make loads of money so you can go on all these different holidays. And so now I have to work, you have to work more and more.
I mean, some of it's just a practical thing, though, isn't it? Like, obviously, the more kids you have, the more it costs you. And I read a stat that from Scope, and they're a charity that work for equality for people with disabilities. And in 2018, they had said that, on average, life costs approximately £570 more, on average, every month, if you are disabled.
Right.
Every month.
Yeah.
So, and when you look at it, the employment rate for sort of parent carers is only about 67%. And part of the reason for that is because sometimes your children are so medically complex that no one else is able to look after them. They're not qualified enough. They'll allow you to do it, but they wouldn't allow someone to be paid to do it. So there's a lot of problems. It's not just men and women. It's about, that as well. And from our perspective, it's not me or Ollie that's the disabled person, but obviously Freddie is. And so our cost, and that I wouldn't necessarily say it's 570 quid a month at the moment, but absolutely it costs us more money to look after Freddie than it does to look after Bella or Jago, because of the therapies he requires or the equipment he requires or whatever it might be. The type of car that we have is different because of him. So there's all of those things that come into play. So from a practical level, I mean, Ollie's always said, if your earning power was more than mine, with pleasure, you could go to work.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Right? But when it came down to it, there's no way. There's no way he would want to be doing all the crap that I do.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I can see that, because I just remember back to the times when, you know, like if we went away for a weekend, then you'd be like, oh, man, when's she getting back?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Ollie's totally capable. Like, if I wasn't here, I have absolute full faith. He would be able to do everything that I can do. But it's whether you want to or how you feel about it. And I, you know, I adore my kids, and it was absolutely our choice to have children. But, man, nobody tells you how hard it's going to be and what a challenge it's going to be.
Well, here's the other thing as well. Like, kids just naturally gravitate towards their mom as well, isn't it?
They do.
If we're both in the house. Mm. Our kids used to always say, mom, that's all you ever heard. Yeah. You rarely ever heard dad.
Ollie will feel happy that you said that, because he thinks it's just him.
No, it's they're always mom. All the time, regardless.
Yeah, even if Ollie's in the kitchen and I'm in the shower,
exactly.
They'll be up there asking me for snacks. I'm not even there. Go and ask him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you know, I guess that's a human nature-ish kind of thing. So in terms of doing it all then, where are we at with that? Can and I'm saying women do it all, but I just as well say, can men do it all? Or do we need to just reevaluate what our focus is on, like figure out what the end point is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? Does it need to be extravagant? Can it be less? So can you both work less because you have less needs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally possible, I guess. It's what you, I suppose, it's just everything costs so much flipping money, doesn't it, these days?
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother subject, isn't it? Just the price of how you get consumerism and being kind of sucked into the system where you have to be earning just to, you know, live in a house and eat some food, basically.
I mean, know? I want to say, yes, you can have it all. Mm. And as a mum and a woman, you can have it all. But I don't think that is the case.
Because something has to give.
It's really hard work and it's exhausting and it's overwhelming. And I think if I gave up the work that I do, perhaps I would be less stressed, but not because the work is stressful, because I love the work and that's why I don't want to give it up, but I'd be less stressed because I'd have more capacity to focus more at home. But without the work, that, you know, that is the bit that gives me almost like me time and a different kind of focus. And, you know,
there's something about a soulness in that, isn't it? Like, if your work you do feeds your soul. I mean, the kids are kids. There's our own category, isn't it? You're sort of family and the kids and you have and, you know, that sort of unit. But then there's the stuff you as... Because you're still a human being, even though you're a parent, so you have this need to want to have a purpose, be able to contribute to society in a way that's meaningful to you and to others. And so, you know, you have those desires as well. They don't go away just because, you know, you have kids and you're a mom, so they don't go away. And it's... You know, how do you sort of balance out your desires and expectations and your obligations and balancing all that that sort of stuff?
It's hard to balance it. And some of it is, you know, stereotypes and what people think. I mean, I can remember when Freddie particularly was really little and we went away, you know, people always, no matter where you go, what do you do for a living? What do you do? Because the expectation is that you work. And I was like, I was so fed up of saying, I'm a stay-at-home mum. Because a lot of people don't see the value in it. I mean, they would have no idea what I was going through, but they just didn't see the value. So I'd be like, oh, what random job could I say that I came up with? So I'd be like, oh, I'm a submarine engineer. Like, I'd just come up with something really random.
I like that.
And they'd be like, oh, really? Yeah. No, I'm a stay-at-home mom. It just kind of got the conversation going. But there is that kind of feeling of, what am I giving to the world?
That's an interesting cultural thing, isn't it? Because I remember... I went to Spain to do some work. I was scouting out some stuff. And it was in the winter time, and I found this little B&B to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the proprietor there, the guy was there, and his daughter was back from the States, and she was working there. But in the evenings, I used to go down, and her and I used to sort of chat, because she spent time in the States as well. And this was in Spain. And she wanted a conversation, and she pointed this out. She was like, you know, in this, one of the things that she noticed about being in the States, which I guess is the same here in England as well, is that, you know, one of the first questions out of people's minds, what do you do?
Yeah.
And what, so she said, it was like, what did you do and what school did you go to? Mm. I don't find that you guys don't ask that question as
much.
Not
so much with the
university,
school. In some circles, they would, but.
Yeah. But it definitely, what do you do?
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, for at least in Mallorca and that culture where she was in, she's like, she doesn't even know necessarily what some of her closest friends do, because it's not a topic of conversation. Right. You don't lead with, you know, what do you do? Which I thought was, again, interesting, because you do have that thing of people say, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
And because of the, I don't know, stigma is probably the wrong word, but maybe the perception, as you say, that if I say I'm a housewife, you don't even say housewife anymore, because that's 1950s, isn't it? What do you say now?
What's the stay-at-home mom?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a primary caregiver, or something like that. Is it bad to be a housewife?
See, I mean, I don't think it is. If it's right for you and right for your family, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there are so many benefits. It's actually, I think, how you feel about it yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just me. I really struggle with that whole dynamic as to what it is.
But you can see where people's, not everyone, but the reaction or the feeling. And maybe it's a perception on both parts. If you say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom or a housewife, and then maybe you see something in their eyes and say, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's cool.
Well, the perception is, I think, well, you're dull. You won't have anything to add to the conversation. Yeah. You don't really know what's going on in the world. So, no, there is a judgment there, without a doubt. Whereas if you... you know, work for, whether it's your own business or a company, then they'll start to ask you about that. So they can, I think part of it is actually just people's ability to have a conversation.
Okay, yeah.
And they lack that ability.
I know where
sometimes to
go if you say, I work at this.
Yeah.
But if you say, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I don't actually necessarily want to say, okay, what's the kids like?
Or okay,
how do you make a, where do you take the conversation? Maybe that's part of it. Okay, so yeah. So, and now you did say something to me a couple of weeks ago, that part of the model that was driving you is you didn't want to be like your mom.
Let's hope she's not listening.
and that you see that you are becoming her.
Yeah, I sort of, in a way. And again, it's like, actually, there's nothing...
Sorry, Mom.
Oh, no, sorry. She's in Greece at the moment, so we're all right. But there's nothing wrong with that, because actually she gave me that stable upbringing that has contributed to who I am today. And but I kind of remember growing up and seeing friends whose mums worked, and obviously when you're little you don't understand the dynamic of why that would be the case, or the choices, or even how much people earn or anything. You just see that they have this career or whatever. And I suppose I had always fought against the model that I had grown up with, and that had been historic as well. So my mum, her sister, my paternal grandma, maternal grandma, aunts, you know, whatever. The women had always been more the home caregivers. I mean, but also mum chose that role. That's actually what she wanted. Yeah. She wanted a family and to be that mum in that role. So she chose that life and got the one that she wanted. So again, it's about choices and what you like. But I was probably quite rebellious against that. And that's probably where a lot of my determination came from, in actual fact, that I wasn't going to have it like that. And I wanted to have a job, and I wanted to have a career and an external meaning to the family. But actually, it's really hard work. Mm. And so having all of that and the kids, but particularly having Freddie with additional needs, it's pretty exhausting, in actual fact. And I said to you when I came in earlier on that I'm at the point now where I'm thinking, oh, I so need a break, and I'd really like to either just be in the mountains walking around with the dog, or lying on a beach somewhere, because actually I'm really tired.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, a lot of pressure from everywhere, even to the point where it's different today, in that, you know, when I was six, there was no pressure at school. I don't remember having homework. There was none of that business, whereas they've got homework and they've got to learn lines for a play, and there's all this sort of stuff, which the pressure then comes on you. So you've got the pressure of yourself and your little people that you're looking after, and it's a lot. It's a lot to do.
There's a lot of stuff to juggle around.
Yeah.
And now my mom worked and my dad worked, so I had both parents were away. And I think my biggest gain from that is it was always a push for my mother was to be independent. So I had to, you know, cook my own breakfast, iron my clothes, get ready for school. So it was because she had to work. We didn't have the luxury of both parents being able to, or either parent to be able to stay home. But there was a certain independence that came with that. So we had to look after ourselves. And I had a younger sister and then later on a younger brother. But, you know, so... you know, I had a responsibility for making sure that, you know, that we were safe. But also we matured sooner, faster.
Maybe.
In the sense that, you know, I could go to the store and do things on my own at a young age, and we actually probably let our own kids do.
Yeah.
Because I had to, because mom was, you know, gone.
I mean, on that point, I went to university and I couldn't cook a thing. I mean, literally, I couldn't cook anything. Yeah. I don't think I could even boil an egg. I don't know how many minutes to boil it for. It's like, how do you get to university and not be able to boil an egg? But and so that's not a criticism of mum, because she was just caring for me and doing those things. But actually,
I had to, from, you know, by the time I was high enough, I guess, to reach the ironing, but I had to do my own. I didn't have to do the laundry, but I had to do my own ironing and get myself ready for school, make my lunch, do all that kind of stuff. So there was an independence that came out of that. Did I miss out maybe closeness, maybe? Maybe I don't feel as close to my mum for that reason, because there was that gap of time where it was, you know, not there. But the other thing, I think, was just had to entertain myself as well. Yeah. We had to entertain ourselves in terms of, you know, your imagination and playing and, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
Like, as you said, there's trade-offs to it.
There's pros and cons to everything. It depends on what you make out of it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And not to be rude to my mum, it wasn't that. I suppose I was just thinking it's life sometimes follows patterns. And how it is for me right now, there's so many positives about it, but it's not necessarily what I had envisaged. And part of the reason, obviously, is because of Freddie and his needs. That does add another, like, double whammy to it. And, you know, you can never foresee those things happening. Mm. But the way that I am resembles more closely the mum that I grew up with rather than the one that I envisaged being, I suppose.
And
but again, there's nothing wrong with
that. Kids? Did you always think, you know, did you think I just want to be a career woman and go do that thing? Or did you think I want to get... So did you want to do the whole sort of Prince Charming, find, you know, your dude, get married, have kids, raise a family? Was that an ambition?
Yeah, but I don't... It's not like, you know, some of my friends was like, all they could think about was having a family and, you know, kids is their everything. I don't think that was the case. I mean, I was 31 when I had my first child, so back in the day I'd have been a geriatric. But I did know that I wanted it. But I don't know what it is that tells you that you want that necessarily. It's just something inside you, isn't it? But it wasn't like I'd envisaged exactly what it would be like to be a mum. I just thought, I know that I would like a family and to have children. And I'm really glad that I do. It's just trying to balance those things out. Because actually, doing the work that I do and giving me time out and even, you know, doing this, actually that makes me a better mum. Because I've got time away to get my head together and then I can come back into it being the mum that I need to be, rather than being this, like, you know, downtrodden, it's just the kids again, more nappies.
As I'm looking at the watch, you've got to get ready to go into mom duty as well, because you've got birthday presents to pick up, don't you?
Birthday presents to buy, I've got to sort myself out.
So check it out. So there you go. So there we're juggling those things around. Now you got to get ready to put mom hat back on.
I know, exactly. So I've had my hours now.
Yeah.
And then that's it. So I do think you can have it all to a degree,
right,
but I don't think you can have it all and it not have an effect somewhere.
You have to think about what the sort of unintended consequences are that might come out of that.
It looks like. It might not be that actually you work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and you have kids and you do this and you do that. It might be that it looks different today and it's more, you know, like my work is fitted around the kids and I don't work every day because I can't, or I, you know, grab an hour in the evening to do it or whatever it might be. So actually today's way of working looks completely different. And that is, I think, having that flexibility is the way that we will make that work to have it all.
It's kind of that way forward, isn't it? To have the sort of lifestyle business where you can fit. And I sometimes have an issue with the whole sort of work-life balance. I hate that term, but it's...
I don't have any.
it's building a lifestyle business in that sense that it can fit around the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other model, which is give all of your life to the company and then they spit you out at your retirement age and give you a little bit of retirement money.
And I definitely don't want that.
After they've worn you out.
Yeah, exactly.
We're done with you. Get out this way. That's it. All right, excellent. Well, thank you for coming on to do this episode with
me.
So where can people find you at online?
Okay, so you can find my podcast if you have a search on any of the platforms that you usually look on, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's CEO of My Special Needs Family, and that's the podcast. And it's weekly, but I am looking at going to a format where I have a series, so I have a bit of a break over the summer because, quite frankly, there's not a lot of time to get it all done, if I'm really honest. So that's the main place you can find me. But you can also visit amymanmentoring.com And everything is on there on my website, you know, blogs, my online course, if you want to access that for helping you to advocate for your children, which is Get Your Voice Heard. That's available on there. And it's a really, really small price, just £15, but you get lifetime access and then access to a group where you can have continuous support from me and the rest of the inner circle on there. So you can find all the information there, but definitely check out the podcast. And it would be fantastic if you like it, if you'd leave a review and subscribe.
Yeah, man.
And I think I will be sharing this episode on my podcast too, because I think it's a really valuable conversation that many, many mums in my situation
and dads
go through.
Come on,
and dads, and dads, and dads.
Don't just discount. You'd be dissing us all the time.
Parent carers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you're on Twitter as well.
I'm on Twitter, at Amy Mann Mentor. I'm on Instagram, but I forget to go on it. I am on there a bit.
Facebook, you're on.
Facebook and Twitter are my two key platforms, but other than the podcast, yeah.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Okay, cool. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for being a wonderful guest.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast with your host, Amy Mann. I always love to hear from anyone in our community, so please send me an email to amymannmentoring@gmail.com or visit my website, amymannmentoring.com, or you can find me over on Facebook, Amy Mann Mentoring for Special Needs, on Twitter with the handle @AmyMannMentor, and sometimes you can find me on Instagram, velvet_bulldozer. You should also definitely, if you haven't already, join my Facebook group, which is the CEO of My Special Needs Family. And if you have any comments, questions, or would like to join me on a podcast, I'd love to hear from you. It would be so great if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast with as many parents as you think would be interested to really help build our community. And also, if you could have time to leave a quick review to help others see it in the podcast listings. Until next time, take care. We'll be right back.